May it please the court, 1875, the Constitutional Convention unanimously recommended that the people adopt broad prohibitions against special legislation. And as this court has recently made clear, separate classes, separation of natural classes for different treatment purposes is a special law, as is a closed-end classification. Today we've got two statutes that we're asking the court to review and declare unconstitutional. They're all part of one law, the St. Louis County sales tax law. 66600 is an open-ended statute on its face. But we know from what's happened that it was never intended to be that, because when another county got close to reaching it, the definition that had been set out in the early law in 1977, I believe, the legislature changed the definition to make sure that only St. Louis County would ever have this law to use. So the prohibition against special laws, I believe, under 66600 is implicated here because of what the legislature did to show, to prove its intent that this was always a special law. 66620 divides cities within St. Louis County, the natural class cities, into two separate groups, depending upon immutable historical facts which can never be changed. So the court, I believe, has begun putting real teeth in to these special provisions, special law provisions of the Constitution. We believe and suggest that, first of all, that you can apply Jefferson County and City of Normandy to this 66620 because it was passed again in 2016. But even if you want to go back and apply only pre-Jefferson County law, we believe there needs to be some clarification in the case law about what the test is. The courts have usually said that there has to be a rational basis, but a rational basis for what? And what we suggest is that the constitutional language itself requires you to say that there must be a rational basis for a special law because a general law will not apply. In other words, we believe the test is, and if the plaintiff can show, that a general law will do the same trick as the special law, that the Constitution has been violated. We think that's the test that the text demands. Could the legislature have achieved this same result with a general law? Now, the trial court in this case said, here are the three reasons that this law should be found constitutional. One, it protects county revenues. Two, it imposes taxes for cities that didn't have taxes already. And three, it halted annexation and discouraged incorporation in St. Louis County. Now, the first two of these, collecting more revenue or making sure the county has enough revenue, and imposing taxes for cities, can be handled under general laws that have been on the books since 1969 for cities and a little bit later for counties. A county now, every other county in the state, can have a general sales tax. It's dedicated to the county, doesn't have to give any to the cities. That's a general law. The only county that doesn't have that is St. Louis County. Cities, as I said, can raise their own taxes under the law. And prior to the passage of 66600, several of these cities, 54 of them in fact, had their own sales tax.
Do we look at what we would do now, or do we look at what their options were at the time and why they adopted it at the time they did?
Well, Your Honor, I think you could look at it back then even. I'd like for you to look at it now, but you don't have to, because back then, because we're really talking about changes in the law that took place in 1990 when they readjusted the definition of 66600 to make sure St. Charles County wouldn't fall into it, all of these general laws were on the books. The general laws were there and could have been used. And what would they have avoided? Well, in this case, they would have avoided what our third claim is, that the legislature has, by a statute, effectively appropriated all county general revenue raised by the sales tax under a formula that's changed a number of times over the years, which we suggest violates 40 section 21 of the special law list.
Does that run into opposing counsel's argument that you could have raised this in your earlier lawsuit, because it's been like that since 1990, and I think it was 93 lawsuit and then a later one?
Well, Your Honor, that would have been the argument I would have made, but none of the res judicata or estoppel rules would suggest that that's the outcome. The res judicata rules, which were applied by the trial court, resulted from a case that, in which there was no decision. This court said there is no grounds for an equal protection or due process claim by a city. And so, therefore, we're not deciding it. Judge Holstein wrote the opinion, and he says all these questions have to be reserved for another day. Res judicata, at that point, didn't apply. You have another question?
Well, it doesn't really matter if you raised it then. It's what you could have raised for res judicata purposes.
I suppose that's the question, but the law has been amended.
The law is clear on res judicata. It's anything you could have raised. That's the point. Not so for estoppel, but for res judicata, it's anything you could have raised at the time, which is a different thing than the merits argument.
And I would suggest that there are different statutes that are in effect today.
Well, and your opponent argues latches, that it's been 40 years and perhaps his suit, is a little tardy.
Well, Your Honor, I think if you carefully apply the doctrine of latches, you can't get there. First of all, latches has historically been applied in equitable cases, not in legal cases. And there's some pretty good declaratory judgment law that says it depends on what the relief you request is, whether it's equitable or legal. But even assuming that's the case, there have been these changes and promises of changes in statutes all along that Chesterfield has relied on the other side of this. And finally, when it hasn't gone the way they thought it should, they brought this lawsuit. So I would respectfully suggest that latches, why it might be a way to avoid answering this question, and I can understand the interest in doing that, I don't think if it's properly applied, it should be used.
Assuming that this is special legislation, doesn't substantial justification defeat that?
Well, substantial justification for there being a special law rather than a general law?
Yes.
Well, I would suggest to you that if it was, I've always believed that the open-ended piece of this was just another way of saying it's a general law. That at the end of the day, if somebody else falls into these special circumstances, they're going to get the advantage of it. What is the special justification for a law that suddenly doesn't apply to the people to whom it was going to apply because the legislature changed the definition? And the substantial justification here is we say three things. One, county revenue needs to be protected. There's a general law that does that. City revenues can be this way directed. There's a general law that does that. And there is a clear constitutional prohibition against regulating county affairs. And I don't see any language that gives you the opportunity to apply a substantial justification test. But even if you apply that, what's the substantial justification for reaching in and appropriating county funds? That's what 66620 does. That's what all of the books and the people who commented on
it doesn't. It very clearly, specifically says it's not state funds; it's county funds.
This court said that in Berry, that these are general revenue to the county, and
to the not to the state.
That's right. This is not state money at all.
Right. That's my point. So, how are you saying the state's taking the money?
Well, it says county. Here's all this sales tax. It goes in. You've got a
they set a formula. The statute sets a formula.
Which is
they don't take the money.
An appropriation of the money in our regard.
Okay. What about the justification given at the time is that St. Louis County is different because it doesn't have a central city, and therefore its tax needs and its fiscal situation is different because of the large unincorporated area without a city that's part of it.
Well, let's assume that they had passed 66600 without 620. The county could appropriate the money. Mm-hmm. They could do with it what they want. They could give some to Chesterfield more than they should, because Chesterfield is now the economic engine of St. Louis County. Or they could pass it out any other way, and you wouldn't have this special law provision with regard to
that. That kind of goes back to the question I asked before. Do you have to have had a substantial justification then, or do you have to show it's still substantially justified today, given this different economic situation you're talking about?
I don't know of anything that anybody wants to freeze in 1977.
Is there any case law addressing that issue?
Your Honor, I don't think so. I think you're going to get to wander down a new path here. and which is...
That's what we like to do.
Well, we like for you to do it depending on how it comes out. But let me just close quickly here and save the rest of my time to suggest to you that this is really not an open-ended statute and never was. And we know that because the legislature made sure it wasn't when it adopted it with new open-ended language, which was not much different, frankly. It was in the city of Normandy that was recently decided. The rest of this is all closed-ended. And it's closed-ended because you have historical, immutable facts which define the cities. And there's no way for a B city to become an A city. There's a way for an A city, if it decides things aren't going its way, to become a B city, but a B city is stuck in Chesterfield, which would have been a great beneficiary and received and been able to keep the yeoman share at the beginning, all of its city sales tax had it been formed and like it is now, is thrown into the group and becomes a funding source for the rest of the county. If the county had applied the general law, we would be in a situation where the county would have its money, it wouldn't have to worry about that. The cities would, if they wanted to have a tax, could have a tax, and if they didn't, they wouldn't. And the cities take over the county's police and all of that when they get up and running. And the justification for the that the trial court placed on its conclusion was this point of sale idea, and the point of sale idea was simply that where all these sales are is there's higher crime, there's higher police necessary, and all of that. That's the case now for the B cities, but they can't ever move. And that's the one thing that I believe the Constitution prohibits most clearly. You simply can't create hard lines that can never be erased or moved, no matter what happens. There's a way out for this, and we suggest that the court should declare these statutes unconstitutional, understanding that there'd be some disruption, put in place a remedy that would allow some time for the general laws to take effect, and we would then have the Constitution being put in a position to do what it was meant to do in the beginning, control. Thank you.
May it please the court. Robert Gulterman for the intervener respondents in this case. I'll be sharing my time this afternoon with Peter Reed. At first blush, it seems like there's a lot going on in this case. But in reality, the analysis of Chesterfield's constitutional challenges to 66-600 and 66-620 are pretty straightforward. And this court has plenty of its own precedent to look for guidance. I'm going to talk about 66-600 first. First of all, 66-600 was not touched in 2016 when the legislature amended 66.620. That section has not changed since 1991. More importantly, 66-600 has contained an open-ended, presumed constitutional population-based classification for over 40 years. It was amended one time in 1991, at which point it became a population minimum, but still an open-ended, presumed constitutional population-based classification.
Is Jackson County the only other county that could possibly move into that classification?
I believe at this point, any county
with a charter form of government
that reaches 900,000 could ultimately fall within this law. And the exact population-based classification in Section 66-600 for the last 23 years was found by this court in Treadway v. State to in fact be an open-ended constitutional population-based classification. And it should be upheld so long as it's rationally related to a legitimate interest and not wholly irrational. And quite frankly, Chesterfield does not seriously contend that 66-600 is not doesn't have a rational basis for its passage. So how does Chesterfield attempt to get around, get over this hurdle? Well, first, by trying to invoke a rarely invoked statutory construction rule of in pari materia, which clearly does not apply here. This is not a statutory construction case. 66600 and 66620 stand on their own. There's no ambiguity. There's no disharmony. There's no inconsistency within the language of these two statutes. So
So you're saying 66600 could stand on its own, and even were this court to find 66620 was a special law not substantially justified, you would just lose the mechanism for sharing the revenue. You would still have the sales tax?
We would certainly lose the mechanism for distributing the money, and I believe there would be any number of other practical problems that would be raised if there is no method to distribute the money on a going forward basis. I think there would have to be action taken by the legislature. So aside from in pari materia, which clearly doesn't apply, what else is Chesterfield arguing? Chesterfield is suggesting to this court, for the first time in its brief to this court, did not raise the issue below, that this court should adopt a brand new test, a one-off test, if you will, results-oriented, to analyze the population-based classification in 66600. And what is that test? Test goes something like this. Legislature passes a constitutional population-based classification 41 years ago, amends it one time 27 years ago, and enacts a similarly constitutional population-based classification. And because of that one amendment over 40 years, the court should strip that statute of its presumption of constitutionality. I would submit that any such test, not only would it, as I said, be very results-oriented, but it would directly undercut this court's rulings in Jefferson County and Normandy versus Greitens, specifically that the legislature is guided by the laws as exist at the time of the enactments. In 1977 and in 1991, the law that is guiding the legislature made clear that both of these population-based classifications are open-ended, they are general, and they are presumed to be constitutional.
Well, Mr. Robertson raised the objection to 66620 that, in addition to the population, he focused on the fact that there's an A and B classification. You can't move from B back to A, so A is a closed-ended category, and that normally is a special law.
Your Honor, 66620 is similarly, the analysis of 66620 is similarly straightforward as is 66600. 66620 is a revenue distribution mechanism or method. It is not a special law.
It wouldn't be a special law if, say, they passed a law that said Chesterfield gets 0% of the money and University City gets 100%. That's just a revenue distribution and not a special law?
Well, in that situation, Your Honor, it's a countywide tax. And in 66600, the law states that it's for the benefit of the incorporated and unincorporated areas. So you're going to have to provide some of the tax revenue to the incorporated area. If you completely exclude a city.
Okay, so pretend everybody gets 1% and one city gets 90% or 10 times what the others get. My point is, I'm not aware of anything saying you can't have a special law if you're distinguishing between cities within a county. Maybe there is, if you could tell me, but I know you say it's just a revenue law, but if it were special, if it favored certain cities over others, why would that not be a special law?
Well, our position is that a tax distribution system of a countywide tax is not a special law, as long as it includes all those that are similarly situated. So as long as every city is included, along with St. Louis County.
Then could you more directly answer my question, though? I know you said that, and I'm saying, how would you apply that to this situation where some cities get more than other cities? And it said cities on the south side of Highway 40 get three times as much as cities on the north side of Highway 40. Would that not be a special law?
Well, if it's a special law, Your Honor, so long as there's a substantial justification
Right.
It can be upheld.
And that's certainly the second thing, but to the extent you're saying you can't have a special law between cities, I'm just not sure what you're basing that on.
Well, I would suggest that other distribution methods do not distribute the dollars fairly either. A purely per capita system distributes more dollars to more highly populated cities. A point of sale system.
And you're talking about justifications for treating them differently, or are you saying they're in different categories? Or
what I'm saying is they're just different ways of distributing a countywide tax. And this court said in Berry that the General Assembly has the constitutional authority to distribute countywide taxes.
Can they do it through special laws?
They cannot do it through special laws, no. And I would submit that as long as all of the constituents, all of the cities, are accounted for and they're all included within the tax, that it's not a special law for purposes of Article 3, Section 30 or 21.
If this court were to find there's Category A and B cities, and you can't get into Category A if you're not already in it. It's based on a certain time cutoff and whether you had a tax at that time. And this court may well find that's not a special law for the reasons you state, but what I'm hoping to get is your input on if this court were to find that was a special law, is there no general law could be applicable, or is there a substantial justification for it, or how do we deal with that aspect of your opponent's argument?
Certainly. There is no more general law that could be applicable. All of the examples cited by Chesterfield in their briefs are no more or less general than the current distribution scheme. They're just different ways of divvying up the money. But in addition to that, Your Honor, yes, there is substantial justification for 66620. There has been since 1977 when it was enacted, and there continued to be through 1984 when the last truly material amendments were passed. And Mr. Reed is going to address in more detail substantial justification.
Very good. Thank you.
But the add-on to that is Chesterfield raised this issue 2 years after they were incorporated in 1988. They went through the process of trying to be declared an A city, and they were rejected. And this court provided them no relief in that regard. And the reasons that they failed or were not successful are not relevant. They should have brought all of these special law claims in 1990 when they filed Chesterfield 1, because the claims they had then are exactly the same claims they have filed today. They existed the day they were incorporated. So they've had these special law claims for 30 years. And in 2014, they filed this suit. In 2016, they amended this lawsuit based on the changes in the law, but they didn't change their claims one iota. The claims, the special law claims in their original petition before the 2016 amendments, are exactly the claims that are before this court today.
Counselor, I'm not sure how you decided to divide your time, but there's 4 minutes and 30 seconds left for the entirety.
I appreciate that, and I don't want Peter's going to start jumping up here, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
May it please the court, Peter Reed for the state of Missouri. I'd like to address two points in the time that's remaining. One, to discuss three different substantial justifications for the categorization in 66620, and then two, to address some of the court's questions about race judicata. I'd like to start with substantial justification, and I think before we get there, it's very important to address the question of a time frame. This court last year in City of Normandy said that ruling would be prospective only, expressly because the General Assembly, when it passes a law, is able to rely on this court's decisions and this court's interpretation of the Constitution at the time of enactment. And so the proper context for determining whether this is a general law or a special law is when it was enacted in 1977, and at the very latest, when it was amended in 1990. With that background, three substantial justifications. The first, my opposing counsel started his presentation by talking about how the special law provision is designed to prevent the separation of natural classes. In other words, the special law provision does not prevent the General Assembly from treating differently situated things differently. And this court said this in Sullivan v. Seitz. In Sullivan v. Seitz, it was a sewer hookup case, and it found, this court found substantial justification for a law that treated those who benefited most from the law differently than those whose status remained the same. And that's exactly what happened here in 1977. The Group A and Group B are natural classes. They're not similarly situated in 1977, and they are not today. The reason for that is because this county sales tax law in 1977 was designed to benefit those in Group B. Those in Group A had no change. It did not benefit them. It simply continued their revenue stream that they had before. So there's substantial justification in treating differently situated classes differently. And in this instance, Group B is the primary beneficiary of this law. It's the primary beneficiary of this law to this day. That's why the city of Chesterfield in Barrie in 1995 defended this law, specifically because it allowed them to get revenue from Group A cities in a way that they had not been able to do before the county sales tax was enacted. Differently situated entities at the time of enactment can be treated differently. That's still a general law because it's substantially justified. The second substantial justification for this is the unique attributes of St. Louis County. I think that we would all be ignoring the elephant in the room if we didn't recognize that St. Louis County is very different for sales tax revenue purposes than a lot of other counties. It has 90 municipalities. These are all in Judge Beadham's findings. It has 90 municipalities. It has an unincorporated area of over 300,000 that would be one of the largest cities in the state of Missouri if it were a city. It's uniquely situated, and the General Assembly can pass a general law that treats unique situations, and I think that's what the General Assembly did here in 1977. There is a specific problem, an enormous unincorporated area that did not have access to city services and needed to be funded, and this law provided that funding and addressed a very specific problem in a very specific context, and the General Assembly can do that without creating a special law. And I think the third substantial justification is the fact that this law has worked for 40 years. This court has seen lawsuits from both Group A and Group B over those 40 years. Certainly some parties have been dissatisfied at different times, and I think today is no different. Again, some parties are dissatisfied, other parties are satisfied. I think that it'll probably flip in the future depending on what that formula does and, frankly, how things factually develop in the county of St. Louis. But the fact that this law has worked for 40 years shows that it addressed a very specific problem, and it addressed that specific problem effectively. If this court overturns what the General Assembly did 40 years ago because of a law that, frankly, was subsequently changed in Jefferson County and City of Normandy, it's not clear what the solution is. What happened here was a specific solution to a specific problem, and the General Assembly can address those problems in that way. Briefly, res judicata, if I may, Your Honor.
You're out of time, Counselor.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Your Honor.
Please, the court. The third rationale offered by the trial court was that it stopped annexation. In 1983, this court, Judge Higgins writing for the court, said local governments are not in competition for revenues. Residents can assert preferences. That is, they can choose to live in cities or in unincorporated areas. Government serves the needs of those whom it serves, not the efforts of government to serve itself. If you boil this law all the way down, it was to stop annexation. The revenue issues can be handled by a general law, as they are everywhere else, including Jackson County. And the purpose of this law was to stop annexation to preserve St. Louis County government. And it could have done that by statute says we can't do annexations in St. Louis County, but it provided these indirect economic incentives. And then it did something unheard of in this state. It said we are going to appropriate the money for the county, the general revenue, not the library fund, not the road fund, the general revenue. And the A cities would never have joined this proposition when it was put to the people of St. Louis County if they had not been allowed to keep 100% of their sales tax revenue. It was for their benefit because they then got the opportunity to move in a different direction if it helped them, but everybody else was stuck, and new cities came along, and they're stuck. And that's the definition, I believe, of a special law. And the fact that it has worked well doesn't mean that the general laws would not work well, too. What it means is that the Constitution requires us to find out whether the general laws will work, because they work everywhere else. And even if you uphold this under all of the 40 subsection 30 law, you cannot, I respectfully suggest, uphold 66620 based on subsection 21. There simply is nothing in this state's law, or as either side could find, that allows general revenues of a county closer to the people to be appropriated by the General Assembly. The thing that that entire provision was designed to stop was to make sure that the General Assembly paid attention and passed state laws. The Jackson County representatives, the Platt County representatives, don't care what happens in St. Louis County. They'll vote and trade for something else. And whether it's Hammerschmidt or the cases you've followed since then, or these new cases you've written, which have actually breathed life into these limitations, they are the things that control. And we would suggest it's not enough to say it works well. It has to work well under the law. I thank the court for its time.